kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Praise God. Well, if you remember last time, I shared with you a title, Will God Be Able to Reap a Harvest from Me? Will God be able to reap a harvest from me? And I think this spoke to quite a number of you with the feedback that I got and personal messages, and that is what the Word of God is about. It's to get our attention. It's to get us to seek Him and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and that is a blessing. So I want to continue with that theme. Will God be able to reap a harvest from me? Because it's all about the Word of God, as we spoke about last time, which is the seed. It is God's seed, the Word. And we know that a harvest cannot be reaped if there isn't seed planted. And of course, we are reminded of the great parable Jesus gave, of the parable of the sower. And we see how that seed can be wasted. And the enemy's there to try and take that seed away. But when a saint is desperate before God, then that seed will be sown into the heart. And why do I say that? Because we are living in desperate times. We are seeing the great falling away taking place. We are seeing the world becoming godless and pagan. And we are certainly living as Christians, believers, in desperate times. And so we are in need of this seed, the seed of God's word, and that is to be planted into our hearts in order for a harvest to be reaped in that time. You see, is the seed planted into us? Is it what God wants? Or is it a seed that I want and I want my own way? You see, when God plants his seed into our hearts, it's his word, it's his promises. It is not selective hearing. It's not selective theology. What I want to get out of it, or what appeals to me in the word of God. God is going to sow seed into our hearts, period. And he knows what harvest he's looking for. Because we're told, aren't we, in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we have to take unbelief as sin in our lives. That is what it means. So God wants to bless. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. He wants to answer our prayers, to glorify his name. But we have to do it on his basis. After all, he is sovereign, and he makes no mistake over us and each of us. He knows how to get the word into our hearts. As I say so often, that dropping that 18 inches from the head to the heart is absolutely vital. It isn't going to work otherwise. You cannot have a head knowledge of God. You cannot have a head knowledge of theology. Why? Because the mind, man's mind, can be attacked by the powers of darkness. We know that. So God has to plant that seed into the soil, into the heart. A heart that's being worked upon, being circumcised by the Holy Spirit. The same as the farmer, he has to sow that seed in good ground, otherwise he doesn't get that harvest. And also, remember last time, we said that God isn't going to accept, well, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. Or if it's God's will, he'll bless me. Or if it's God's will, he'll give me a job. Or he'll give me a house. No, no, God isn't going to accept that. You need to find out what is God's will so that you can release faith and believe that our Heavenly Father will bless according to his word. That is why we have to labor in the word. This is why we have to come and listen under the anointing to the word that it's taught us. Because God has brought us here today for this meeting to know his will, so that you can pray the prayer of faith and know within your heart that God will answer. And of course, he doesn't answer immediately. We know that. Mark 11:24 tells us, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. The believing is the receiving. You've already received. When you believe and you settle on these promises, you have already received. You've not just seen the manifestation yet. That's all that's happened. God doesn't instantly give. Sometimes it's a delay. We know that as Christians. I've taught that many, many, many times. Read Hebrews 11. Those who walk by faith, they believed in the realm of faith. They believed that the promises were there. They were on the way. And God so often uses those delays in which to perfect us, mature us. That's why he delays the manifestation very often for that purpose, because he's seeing a deeper, greater work to be done with us spiritually. But we've taught all of that to you for years. Well, I can't go over what I taught last week. It's there. You can hear that message again. It's on our website. But I want to continue with the second part of, will God be able to reap a harvest from me? That is the question. And we need to be honest with that. And that is why God's addressing this to us, because he wants us to be fruitful. He wants that harvest for his glory. Now, what is our attitude toward unbelief in the promises of God's word? Is it the same towards when I sin, when I've fallen short of the high standard? Somehow we take that very, very seriously. And of course, we should with sin. But do we have that same unction, that same understanding that when I'm in unbelief or I'm not believing as I should be, am I dealing this as the same problem? Because there can be a problem in itself. In other words, we're not really diligent with the areas of unbelief that can still be in our lives. And this is where we have to be honest. If we are truly honest before God, we still have areas where we're not really believing as we should. And the reason being is because the seed has not yet been planted in the heart as it should be. And God wants to plant every seed of the promises in his word. Every promise in his word, there is a seed to that he wants to plant within your heart and my heart. And this is where we have to be honest that we have not always been diligent over the word, which we're going to look at again, as we should be. And if you remember, I spoke much from Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. I want us to turn back again to this. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. We looked at this last time, and I want us to look to it again, because this is the key to this. And what does it say? My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now here is the clear instruction as to how we receive. You see, he says, my son, give attention to my words. In other words, it has to be received. We have to give full attention. What he's saying here, give me your ear. Are you listening? I wonder how often we've had that said from our parents or from our school teachers. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so often we say, yes, yes, I'm listening. We're not really. And we do exactly the same. God is saying to us today, FGA, do I have your attention? Because what I'm saying to you is life or death, and you can decide. So he says, give attention to what? My words. And what are his words? The Bible, the Word of God. So that is how we must be with regard to the word. It's like I am desperate. It's like this is life or death for me. And that's what he means here. So we give heed to these clear instructions. And he says, incline your ear to my sayings. So in other words, he talks about the ear again. Give ear. Listen very carefully. And we're without excuse, brothers and sisters, because we record, we have all this technology today, we can record the word, the messages are put on the website, they are there, they are available. If you want to hear or go over things that you want to just hear again, this is what he means by this. So, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. So, in other words, keep looking at it. Keep reading it. For faith comes by reading, hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. This is what he's saying. This is how you get seed planted into the hearts. I think at times we have neglected the word of God because we become too occupied with other things or things of the world. Or we become despondent. Well, it's been a long time now and nothing seems to happen. It's not manifesting what I'm believing and so forth. Well, the Bible says endure to the end. That's what it says. You endure to your last breath. That is how every saint walks with God. Read Hebrews 11 again. Many under the old covenant, the Old Testament, saw the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Christ. They saw him from afar. They knew a saviour was going to come, but they never saw him in their lifetime. but they still walked and endured by faith, how much more we now, who are under a new covenant, the New Testament, with the new promises, a new sacrifice, everything made new, Christ now dwelling in you and I, how much more? So he says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So he speaks of eyes and he speaks of heart, because that's how we've been made, in God's image. He uses our eye gate, he uses our ears in order for the heart to be changed. It has to be worked upon. We're these earthen vessels, with this clay. And the potter has to work to mould these vessels of honour for his glory. And it takes a lifetime. It's not something that's going to be achieved just after this meeting. I wish it was, but we're not like that. We are living in a fallen world. And God is restoring and bringing us back. We already are by faith, but in this life we walk by faith. And our walk of faith means restoration. It means I'm being restored back how God intended. And it's a work. That's why I say so often, we are a work in progress. So that's why we hold on. That's why we believe. And today, tomorrow, this evening, you can receive the manifestation of that which you are believing for and received on the basis of his word. Don't give up your faith. It is precious in the sight of God. And I know it's easy to feel we want to give up. How much longer? How long does this take? Well, it takes a lifetime. And then when we pass into glory, it will take eternity. It never stops. You're dealing with God now. You're dealing with eternity. You're dealing with a sovereign God, where there's no beginning, no end. He always has been. And always will be. There never was a time when he was not. He was not created. He's eternal, uncreated spirit. Always has been and always will. He's just created time for us. But he's outside all of that. And so we need to get our minds enlarged. We need the Holy Spirit to touch us, because he's putting these eternal spiritual principles within our life that we're entering into. We're walking in two realms, brothers and sisters. We're walking in this life and we're walking in eternity. That's the walk of a Christian. This is why I keep saying your life should be a supernatural life. It's not a normal life. You don't walk like the world. You don't act, you don't think like the world. You are experiencing the Holy Spirit within your life, who's preparing you for eternity. But he said that he'll even bless in this life. So look what it says here. So it has to be heard. It has to be received. It has to have our attention. And so Proverbs here shows us the method of obtaining these results from God, from the promises of God's word. Let's look at it again just to go over it first. There must be the attentive ear. And what is that? He says, incline your ear unto my sayings. That's the first thing. The second thing is there must be a steadfast look. In other words, we're looking to the promises. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Don't let your eyes look to other things. Look to the promises. Look to the Word of God. So in other words, yes, we obviously look at things in the world. We look at things on our travel. When we go on holiday or whatever it is, of course we look. But he's saying the affection of your heart that looks to things, which is the Word of God, don't look away from it. And the third thing is, there must be the heart. We're to keep them in the midst of our heart. In other words, keep with that seed. There is so much seed the farmer has. Can you count when the farmer has seed and he's going to sow that seed into the field that's prepared? Can you count every seed that he's putting in? Of course you can't. Why, there's sack loads after sack loads after sack loads of seed. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. You cannot count it. There is so much seed for the believer to reap the harvest, to bring it in. That is why there's no beginning and no ending with your faith. Where does your faith start and where does your faith end? It doesn't. And do you know why? Because it's the seed of God's word. And not only is it is a seed, but it's an eternal seed. Heaven and earth will pass away, but he says, my word will not. It will remain forever. You see, when your eyes are upon your symptoms or what's happening to you, your mind is occupied with them more than with God's word. In other words, you have in the ground the wrong kind of seed for the harvest because your mind is on other things. Your mind is being held in fear and unbelief. You keep looking at the circumstances or you keep looking at the symptoms in your body. So your mind is more absorbed with that than it is the Word of God, which is the seed. And so the enemy tries to use that to stop the seed being sown into your mind and heart. The enemy knows exactly how to do it. Why is it Christians can't wake up to it? Why is it we're so stupid at times? Well, I don't feel healed, or I don't feel very well. Well, there are days I get up, I don't feel very well, but I start just saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And within 10 minutes, a half an hour, it's all gone. Why? Because I want the seed of God's word into my life, my heart, and not how I feel or what I'm hearing or what the devil's suggesting. The devil's very vocal. And do you know why? Because he doesn't want the seed of God's word into your mind and heart. That's why. And so he's going to try and hinder that harvest. You see, all you have in the ground is seeds of doubt. And seeds of doubt will not bring a harvest that glorifies God. God won't reap that harvest. It's corrupt. It's defiled. You see, you're trying to raise one kind of a crop from another kind of seed. You want the seed of God's word, but you're not prepared to let it be sown in your heart. Because every time a trial comes up, or every time you hear about something, you're confessing the opposite. This is why your confession is important. If the seed of God's word is in your heart, you are going to confess what is in the heart, because it's sown there. It's not rocket science, this. You know where you are in the faith because you hear it come out of your mouth. That is an indicator. Because if faith is in your heart, faith will speak. Faith already has it in Jesus' name. And so you're trying to raise one kind of a crop from another kind of seed. It's impossible to sow tares and reap wheat. Your symptoms may point you to death, but God's word points you to life. And you cannot look in these opposite directions at the same time. You either are looking to life or you're either looking to death. You can't look to both. You have to decide, brothers and sisters. Why am I emphasizing this? Because of the times we're living in. The things that we have relied upon, they are failing us. It's beginning to break up. Why? Because the Lord's coming soon. We are seeing the great falling away now. The Antichrist system is rising. Governments are changing. And it's soon going to be led and directed by a world leader. And they're going to think he is the Messiah. And they will be deceived. But the elect are not. That's why I'm emphasizing this in the way that I am. We're told in the word that Abraham waxed strong in the faith. Why? Because he was looking to the promises of God's word. Let's just remind ourselves in Hebrews 11. Let's read that quickly. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So what was he was being tested. God was testing Isaac's faith, and God tests us to see whether seed is being sown in the heart or not. Thank God he tests us. We might not like these tests, but these tests tell us where we are. That's why they have tests at schools and universities and whatever, because tests tell you where you are. And if you are lacking in areas, then you're able to put it right. In many ways, when we come to meetings like this, and we come under the anointing, what is God doing? He's testing. He's exposing. That's what the word, the preaching is to do. It's to expose. It's to admonish. It's to exhort. It's to encourage and help to show us where we're lacking. And so it's the same here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. So here is the real test. His son, his heir, the promise of a future seed, a promise of a land, Israel. And here it is. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received in a figurative sense. So he knew, he had such confidence that even if Isaac was slain, he would raise him up, because he had faith in resurrection. He had faith in the life of God. God is the giver of life. That is where his faith is. And by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob, and so goes on. But here is the test. Now, why is the Lord testing Abraham with the offering up of Isaac? I think there are a number of things there. I firstly said he's testing his faith. So God knows that he has faith for this, as God wouldn't allow this to happen. But you know another thing? I believe this is also dealing with the powers of darkness and the very devil himself. Because the very devil himself would try to work unbelief in Abraham, because he knows he's the heir and he knows that God is going to redeem and harvest a seed through him. And so there is the test. And like so often, God says, right, well, I will show you. You watch, he will believe. He will have faith. And he will be prepared to obey me and offer up his son. And there you see, God won the battle. God was able then to not only reap a seed, but after, if man was willing to give up his only son, then how much more our Heavenly Father was to give up his son to redeem the world. Look what's being uncovered here. It's absolutely mind-boggling. How God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not even our thoughts. But he was a man who walked by faith, the same as you do and I do. And look what God does through us. He was reaping a harvest in there. And you are part of that harvest. Abraham's faith and obedience in God meant that you and I today would be here having fellowship together, believers walking by that same faith and obedience. Isn't it amazing, the plan of God, the wisdom of God? Who can understand? Who can know? Our God wants us to succeed in this. He wants that harvest, brothers and sisters. He wants to glorify his name. He wants to bless you. That is the Father's heart and nature, to bless abundantly, richly, a hundredfold. Why do you listen to the negative? Block that seed. It's a corrupt seed. It's a defiled seed. Let your heart, your eyes, your meditation, your desires be upon the promises of God's word. And keep coming, keep listening, keep coming into the room. Get that faith into your hearts. That's why we're here today. Because God's made us desperate. And I'm glad he has. I am. Why am I saying this? Because God's word is spirit and it's life. And once the word is sown in the heart, don't keep digging it up to see how it's doing. Don't keep fretting. Don't keep touching yourself. Am I healed or am I not healed? Don't keep looking to your bank account. Have I got the money there or not? And we all do it. And what are we doing? We keep digging up that seed to see how it's doing. Well, it'll never grow if you keep doing that. Leave it there. Let God water it. Let the Holy Spirit water through your faith, your obedience. Because that's what it needs. It'll never take root otherwise. I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say this again. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts. Don't Don't doubt your faith, doubt your doubts. So when doubt is there and working, and you know where it is, doubt it. That is not faith. That is from the enemy. You need to speak it out sometimes. I'm reminded of a story that you know very well. Do you remember the children of Israel? Let's turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. And here, like usual, God was exposing the children of Israel's sin, their unbelief, complaining and griping and moaning and so on. And they'd seen the giants of the land, and they wanted to raise up a new leader and so on. Well, look what goes on here. Look in Numbers 21 and verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord, and he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now there is an analogy. You see, God's exposing their sin. He's exposing their unbelief. They didn't want to obey God. And so, what is the command? He said, make this bronze serpent. Now, let God be God. Why it was a serpent, I do not know. But this is the way God is healing. You see, God never heals the same. It's always a revelation how he's going to do it. How do we know? Because Israel fell into idolatry years later by making a serpent again. You see? But this time they made it an idol. But this is how God is going to heal them. And what does Moses say? The word is, if you gaze, you look upon it, you will live. In other words, if you've been bitten by the snake, it will not kill you. So it's the same principle with us. We gaze, we look, we learn the word of God, because the word of God is our deliverance. It protects us. It heals us. It delivers us. This is why I say the word of God is wholeness to mind, body, and spirit. It is our spiritual food. It is going to sustain us. It's going to protect us and keep us alive in this world until the Lord Jesus comes for us. This is why we make so much of the word of God with FGA and have done. That is what the deeper life is about. And faith comes by hearing, reading this word. What are you going through? Well, yes, you're going through trials. Most of us are all going through some trial or trials or whatever it would be. They're all different. But every one of us are going through trials, or have gone through a trial, or will go through a trial. And it is always in the trial we will know whether we are in faith or we're not. But don't lose heart. If you're not in faith, then you can do something about it. And we're just showing you what you do in which to change. And that's why I call this, "Will God be able to reap a harvest for me?" Go back to the seed of God's word and get that seed into your heart. And don't any longer allow the seeds of doubt to start sowing. Block them. Stop it when it tries to start. And if you're hearing a negative report, then turn away from it or don't listen to it. You don't have to look for Job's comforters. You don't have to look very far for people who are talking about their illnesses or their financial trials or problems with their marriage or their rebellious children. You don't have to go very far to listen to all of that. It's all around us. The question is, are you believing it? Are you taking it in? Or are you rejecting it, stopping it from penetrating into the heart? You have to guard your minds, brothers and sisters. The Bible says you guard your mind. God isn't going to do it for you. You guard it, he'll do the rest. Why? Because the word of God is spiritual. That you can't do. You cannot do the spiritual things. God will do that. What you are to do is to obey him, what he shows. And he says we're to guard what we listen to. I don't want to be around those who talk all the time of the negative. And that's why you need to be so on your guard when you listen to the news and to the reports. I let most of it go in one ear and out the other. Why? Because they are of the world. And who is their father? It is not God, it is the enemy is their father. The father of what? Lies. So most that you hear is lies. Twisted. But it's not with the word of God. It is not with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the light of the world. And he has come to expose darkness. That is why he's exposing darkness in our lives. And what is that darkness? Much of it is just unbelief. I'm not believing as I should. So there we are, brothers and sisters. It's all about seed being sown. And let that seed be sown into your hearts. He's working in our hearts. He says he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. See, if God doesn't do heart surgery on us, we have no hope. That is the work of the Spirit. Thank God for the work of the Spirit. This is why the Word of God is a spiritual word. It is spirit. You are receiving it by faith. And as you believe and as the seed is sown into the heart, so then it comes in and it's manifested into this world, into our lives, so that we can then physically, in that right time, see it. In other words, see the manifestation. And we're all of us waiting for manifestations, whether it's the salvation of our family, our loved ones, our family, the restoration of my marriage, or whatever it would be. We're waiting upon the manifestation. But make sure that the seed is firmly sown in the heart, and that you are watering that seed. Then you have something positive to wait upon, because you know without doubt it will manifest. Father in heaven, thank you for your words. Thank you that you love us so much. You want us to get it right. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for seed that has been planted today in our hearts. Lord, may the water of your Spirit water that word, that it will take root within my heart. Father, we want to bring in a harvest for your glory. You've said that out of our innermost beings shall flow those rivers of living water. Oh, Father, forgive us that we limit you. Oh, Lord, work on our minds, our hearts. Change us, conform us to your will, whatever it takes. And Lord, keep us coming. Keep us faithful. Keep us listening to the word of God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.